Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning, so you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Happy President's Day, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to kick butt for America. Wow, we've got a terrific show lined up for you. I know a lot of you folks are enjoying the day off, a long Valentine's Day weekend, and that's okay. But welcome wherever you might be listening to the radio program today. So, look, over the weekend, there were some things that happened that just, I don't know what it was. It just made me proud to be an American citizen. There were things, and things are happening in this country where it's okay to show your love for America. It's okay to be a proud American again. You know, we went through a time in this country, really going all the way back to the days of Barack Hussein Obama. That's really when this all started. If you want to go back in time to this moment where hatred of America became norm, it became commonplace, I think it actually started back then. But now, just we're not even a month into the Trump presidency, and man, we are kicking butt and we are naming names. And I want to start and I want to start with what happened over the weekend at this hockey match. And I'm not a big hockey guy. I saw Miracle on Ice, and I love that movie. I watch it a lot. It's one of those movies you just have to watch over and over and over again. I love sports movies like that. But I'm not a big hockey guy. And, you know, Memphis used to have a hockey team back in the day. What did we call that? I forget what they called the Memphis hockey team. But anyway, we used to have one. I think Nashville, they've got the Predators. All that to say that over the weekend, Team USA was up in Canada, and they were playing Team Canada. And some very bad things happened during that match. And it started when one of our guys got up to sing the national anthem. Now, I don't know where you come from, but I believe in respecting the national anthem. Always took it bothered me that you had all these professional football players taking a knee, all these the big gals in the WNBA, they were taking a knee, disrespecting the national anthem. So anyway, they booed. The Canadians booed, and it wasn't a boo. Boo! It was boo, boo, boo. I mean, it was really loud. They were nearly drowning out the poor singer. So we've got we have some audio of what happened during the Team USA Team Canada hockey match last night. Cut 19, please.
We're gonna drop the gloves right away. Yep. Sam Bennett, Brady Tkachuk. What a tilt. What a Miller. And Miller dropped the gloves, and Parayko's going to answer. And Parayko,
by the way, speeds Eichel into the zone, flipping it through, scores! Game tied as Team USA has answered. And away goes Larkin. It's a 2-1. Larkin scores! Dylan Larkin, and Team USA has the lead.
All right, enough of that. So it's hard to understand what was going on there, but I'll give you the play-by-play. Within 9 seconds, you know how they get there and they drop the puck, and then there's the face-off there. So it was like within 9 seconds. And keep in mind, so what happened was they were booing the national anthem. Oh, say can you boo, boo? And so, and then as soon as the national anthem is over, the hockey team comes out onto the ice. Well, the Americans were fit to be tied. They're like, oh, hell no. What? You're doing that to our national anthem? So the Americans were enraged over all of this. So when they get out there and they've got all their gear on, and they're getting ready to drop that hockey puck, and as soon as they did, let me tell you something. They expressed their displeasure to the Canadians directly on the bridges of their nose. Within 9 seconds, three fights broke out. 9 seconds. That may be a record for professional hockey, or for any kind of hockey for that matter. Three fights. And let me tell you something. The Americans put those Canadians on the ice. That's what they did. They were, you don't be messing around with the national anthem. So not only did they bruise their faces, then the Americans turned around and they bruised their egos. Because let's get real, and I got nothing against the Canadian people. They got good bacon and ginger ale. But can we get real for just a moment here? There's not that much else going on up there. Right? That's just the reality. It's kind of a eh. And honestly, I'm not sure we even want Canada to become the 51st state, because I think it might bring down our, I don't know, our vibe. You know, they're nice enough neighbors, right? They're not like the Mexicans. I'm just saying, but they're Canadian. It's like eating vanilla ice cream. Okay, it's good, but, you know. So anyway, we're kicking their butts, and then we turn around and we beat the Canadians on their own ice, in their own arena, in their own freaking country. I loved it. I don't know about you. It was like Miracle on Ice Part 2. So a couple of takeaways here, because this is not the only thing that happened. So you've got this burst. I mean, people were just celebrating on social media. First and foremost, the days of all you foreign countries out there disrespecting us, yeah, those days are over. Those days are over. Another takeaway here, and again, I'm not a big hockey guy, but who knew that Canadian hockey blew moose chunks? I mean, that was terrible. Just terrible. And again, the other thing, and I like the Canuck people. We got a little restaurant here in Memphis called the Kooky Canuck. Is the guy from Canada, or did we culturally appropriate? I don't know. Anyway, they have like a giant hamburger. It's a good enough place. But just because you're Canadian is no reason to be impolite. I get it. You have an inferior country. Okay? So you got to show a little bit of respect to the good old US of A. And maybe, I don't know, the next time you go to Tim Hortons or to the decaf. That's all I'm saying about that. So all of that was happening. And then Sunday, geez, hello, did you watch the Daytona 500? That was one of the most remarkable things I have ever seen. President Trump doing the flyover in Air Force One at the Daytona 500, 800 feet above the ground. Even the game announcers on Fox were like, holy crap, holy crap. Unbelievable.
As we welcome you to NASCAR on Fox and the 62nd running of the Great American Race, along with Jeff Gordon, Jamie McMurray, I'm Chris Myers, and nice to have you along with us for this special moment.
I have been to a lot of Daytona 500s, Chris. Never have I felt the excitement and energy. We've had great racing on the track, but we've got the president landing right now. The fans are pumped up. I mean, wow, what a day.
It's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen to see. They said that plane's 800 feet above the racetrack right now. What an entrance by the President of the United States.
He's the Grand Marshal. He'll give the command. Presidents, of course, have attended NASCAR races Daytona before, but again, the first to give the command for this, the Daytona 500.
So it was remarkable. So there you have. So the plane lands. People are going bonkers. That was insane. Over 100,000 people there, and they were all Trump supporters. All Trump supporters. So then they get into the Beast, the big presidential limo, and instead of just driving Trump to the racetrack, they literally take a lap. You've got the Beast with Donald Trump in the lead car. All the other race car drivers are behind them, and they're doing a loop-de-doop around the Daytona 500, and people were losing their minds. President Trump is on the radio talking to the drivers as he's cruising around the track.
And Mr. President, the radio is yours.
This is your favorite president. I'm a big fan. I am a really big fan of you people that you do this. I don't know, but I just want you to be safe. You're talented people, and you're great people and great Americans. Have a good day. Have a lot of fun, and I'll see you later.
Wow, it's your favorite president. That's brilliant. And so the back and forth, and there was some other audio, and I don't think I sent this over, but you could hear some of the other drivers like, dude, is Trump taking a lap? And they're like, that's affirmative. And they're like, that is freaking cool. Everybody was loving this. It was just one of those great American moments. So anyway, President Trump, before the Daytona 500, stopped and spoke to a reporter.
Well, I'm joined now by the President of the United States. Mr. President, 5 years ago, we were standing in this very spot. Right. What brings you back to the great American race?
Well, I think it's fantastic. It's great for the country. Our country is doing well again, and we have spirit all over the world, this spirit again. We brought it back, and it's been less than 4 weeks. So you'll see what we do in a little period of time. It's going to only get better, but this is very exciting.
You brought your granddaughter. I know some of your other family members are here. You get to take a ride around in the Beast. What is that like?
I'll let you know in about 2 minutes because it's going to be, they're going to be going quite quickly, I understand.
And you just got to meet some of the drivers. Are you going to get on the radio again and talk to them before the start of this?
Them, and I say they have a lot of courage doing this. It's I see it, and I've been here, and they have a lot of guts, as they would say.
Mr. President, enjoy your time.
Thank you very much.
And it was just one of those great American moments. You throw in the Super Bowl with President Trump being the first American president to go and attend a Super Bowl as the sitting president, the first sitting president to go to the Daytona 500, the first to actually to do a lap in the Beast at the Daytona 500. This is a president who is connecting with the American people. And hear me on this. His numbers are going up, ladies and gentlemen. They're not going down. They're going up. Now, yeah, sooner or later, and this happens to all the presidents, the numbers go up, they go down. They go up, they go down. But the reason why is that Donald Trump is embracing us. Most Americans are not watching Fox News, or they're not certainly not watching CNN. But you know what they were watching? They were watching the Daytona 500 over the weekend. Most Americans don't watch cable news, but you know what they do watch? They were watching the Super Bowl on Sunday, one of the most watched Super Bowls, I believe, in the history of the game. Trump is going to where the people are, and it's driving the legacy media nuts. But you know what? Every single time that Trump goes out there and does this kind of stuff, it endears him to the American people. This is a man who is loved by the American people. And contrary to what Tom Hanks was trying to convey on Saturday Night Live on Saturday, Tom Hanks portraying a white MAGA guy who refused to shake the hand of a black person, everybody knows that's just simply not true, that the racism is not coming from the America First movement. The racism is not coming from Donald Trump. So my recommendation to all of you left-wingers in the mainstream media, to all of you Trump haters out there, in the vernacular of the Daytona 500, you can just blow it out your tailpipe. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, I got to tell you, eggs, they're still a little pricey out there, and it's going to take some time for those to come down. And we explained that earlier this week on the show. The reality is it's a mess. The economy's a mess, and it's going to take some time for Trump to work all this out. And then, again, the trickle down, the egg prices will come down. What I'm saying is that you need to start taking actions now to protect your savings, to protect your retirement fund. And if it's all in a 401k, you got big problems. Your retirement plan is in jeopardy. That's just the cold, hard facts. So the good news is you can do something about it. And that's why my friends at Priority Gold are big, big fans of the Todd Stearns program. They want to give you a free wealth protection guide, a step-by-step plan to fortify your savings, diversify your savings and retirement with gold. There is no cost, no obligation. Just text the word Todd to 24999. That's Todd to 24999, or go to PriorityGold.com to get your free gold guide today. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. No, we're not banning Canadians. I'm just saying they need to learn their place. You know, we're the greatest country on the face of the earth, and they're Canada. That's all I'm trying to say. So look, over the weekend, I don't know what is going on with these preachers out there, these woke preachers. So there are a couple of things. The first audio you're about to hear is from an Atlanta black megachurch. The guy's name is Jamal Bryant, and he hates all of you MAGA people. This is a so-called man of God, and he's calling for violence. You know, this is not the first time. Remember, was it a couple of weeks ago? We had the preacher from Chattanooga. Take a listen.
Come on, public enemy. I came to tell white supremacists. I came to tell MAGA. I came to tell white privilege. We coming. We coming. God said, when you give me glory, I'm going to run them out of the State Department. If you give me glory, I'm going to run them out of Congress and run them out of Senate. If you give me glory, I'm going to run them off of your job and run them off of your classroom. I need you to take your neighbor's hair and say, neighbor, we got to shout like we got faith.
Neighbor, hey neighbor, we got to shout like we got faith. May I just ask a question? Is that guy okay? Is he suffering? It sounds like he's suffering from some sort of a severe medical problem. I don't know if it's acid reflux disease or if he's got asthma, but that can't be good on the vocal cords, this guy. So this guy is out there telling his congregation, I mean, basically, this pastor is calling on his congregation to wage jihad on all of you Trump supporters in the state of Georgia. Somebody needs to be calling the Secret Service and the FBI, and they need to be checking into this yahoo. So while all that's going on, over in Dallas, you've got a church, and they held a drag show. And I'm not making this up. They've got a literal drag queen in the pulpit, and the drag queen is threatening to kill Trump supporters.
By the way, if any of y'all voted for Trump, please don't tell us. No, don't tell us. Or do, and do y'all sacrifice? Do y'all do that? Do we start? He voted for Trump?
No, I said the church is safe.
Okay, because I will kill him.
What is going on in these churches? Because I can tell you, a lot of times people, they attack, I'm a Southern Baptist, and they attack the Southern Baptist Convention, and many of our churches are conservative. Many of our churches, I would say a majority of the Southern Baptist churches in America are pro-Trump. They vote Republican. But you won't hear Southern Baptist pastors preaching like that and saying, you know what, you voted for Kamala Harris, I want to kill you. You're not going to hear them talking that kind of talk. That's not what we do. And yet, the media, they turn it around and they make it out that the Southern Baptist people or the conservative Presbyterians out there, that you folks are the problem. But meanwhile, you've got pastors like this Jamal Bryant. This guy's a thug. He's a thug in the pulpit. And then you've got this drag queen, a thugette in the pulpit. Well, it could be a thug. I don't know how they identify. I don't know which way the cleric collar goes on, to be honest with you. Dylan, my apologies. But I don't look, the reality is these people are dangerous. You know why they're dangerous? Because they're telling their people that if they go out there and they attack people, they're going to be attacking Trump supporters in the name of God. That is a dangerous proposition. So you folks in Atlanta and Chattanooga and Dallas, Texas, you better keep your head on a swivel because you've got a bunch of radicalized so-called Christians out there that are going to attack you. I mean, you heard what the pastor there in Atlanta just said, Jamal Bryant. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheet $69.98, and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 6-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have 6 of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506.
Keep up with the Trump administration when you subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So last night, there is a great conservative leader in the Memphis area. His name is Justin Johnson, and he sent me a news item. And I have to tell you, I was really shocked when I saw what he sent me. Now, I want to say this about the great state of Tennessee and our universities here. By and large, aside from the University of Tennessee at Knoxville and the University of Memphis, I would say the smaller schools tend to be a bit more on the conservative side. So, I mean, they're certainly more moderate. So they're not flaming left wing is what I'm trying to get at. However, that is not necessarily the case after all. So there's a situation that's brewing in West Tennessee, which, by the way, is the farming community. So outside of Memphis, you basically have a lot of farmland, people raising cattle. They're just good country folk. And there is a university just north of here called the University of Tennessee at Martin. And they are, again, it's a small town community. So therefore, you're going to have a lot of conservatives and you're going to have a lot of Christians that go to this school and that support this school. And I think that's what's really shocked a lot of people. So over the weekend, there was an art display. And this art display was pro-transgender. And the art display actually depicted Jesus Christ. And I know this is going to shock a lot of our KWAM and WTJS listeners. We have a lot of listeners in West Tennessee. But it portrayed Jesus Christ as being transgender with lady parts and man parts. There was also an image of a person in a cleric's collar slaughtering a lamb with a pair of scissors, and the whole thing was meant to be, and there's a lot of language involved in it, but the whole thing was meant to promote transgenderism. Now, we also learned something else from a student at the school who just sent me a note a few moments ago, and they said, oh, that wasn't the only thing. There was also a table set up for, and it was filled with condoms, and the name of the display, Cucumbers and Condoms. Now, this is in this was all in the cafeteria, the university's cafeteria. If you've been to a university, you know they have a big dining hall, and this is where all of this was. So it was a high traffic area, and people were just outraged over this, just outraged. Now, I reached out to the university, and they told me they had no idea this was going on, and then they said they ordered the display taken down. But now I'm getting information that it was supposed to come down on Sunday anyway. So it's not like the university was righting a wrong here. Now, they're saying also, oh, this doesn't depict Jesus Christ. The name of the display was called Transgender Jesus. So I'm not quite sure where they're going with that. So anyway, there is a local pastor, and here's how this was all unfolding over the weekend. Now, I want you to hear this pastor from a church there in Martin, Tennessee, and he's pretty fired up about this, and he actually took a portion of his sermon yesterday. Central Baptist Church is the name of the church, Central Baptist Church, and the pastor, I believe his name is Dr. Mann. I want you to listen to what the pastor had to say as he told his congregation about what was going on right there in their community.
I received a text from a staff member of UTM. And you may be here and you may be saying, well, Brother Colin, it's art. You may be saying, don't say anything against our school. No, it's horse manure. And I'm going to stand up and say it. This week on our college campus, in the University Center, going into the cafeteria, they did an exhibit entitled Transgender Jesus. Matter of fact, put one of the photos up on the screen right now, Billy. This is one of the photos that I received. This is one of the paintings that is done in the UC, right here in Martin. Not in Memphis, not in Knoxville, here in Martin. That was done. Matter of fact, there was another one that was done. I don't have a photo of it. But it was entitled, Their God Says I Must Hate Myself. And it was a girl cutting up a lamb. Once again, you may be here and you're saying, oh, Brother Colin, that's kids expressing themselves. Well, I can express myself as well. And let me just say this. If there was a painting of Muhammad with underage girls, by the way, he had multiple 9-year-old girls that was around. He was a pedophile. If we had done pictures of him and we put that up, guess what would happen? There'd be lawsuits against the campus all over the place. All this stuff would be happening. People would be up in an uproar. But it's okay because it's Jesus. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. And I'll tell you what needs to happen. More than just me needs to contact our chancellor. I've already sent him an email. I sent him an email on Friday night requesting a meeting with him this week. Then I called Mike Sams at First Baptist. He said, brother, you tell me when it is and I'll go with you. But listen, it needs to be more than just me. I'll tell you what needs to happen. This week you need to flood his email boxes. Brother Colin, now you're meddling. No, I'm not. The reason why I'm saying this is because this, friends, you may say, well, we hate it, but the lost world is going to do what the lost world is going to do. Yes, and we're followers of Christ, and we need to do what we've been called to do. Stand up for Jesus!
Yeah, oh, wow. Amen, sir, pastor. You know what I didn't hear the pastor say? He didn't say to go out there and kill anybody, right? He didn't say to burn anything down. He said, contact the leaders of that university. Let them know that you don't approve of that. That is a proper way to address a cultural issue from the pulpit right there. And I'm curious, all you folks in West Tennessee, are you okay with your tax dollars going to fund this? Now, there are some out there saying, well, the university should have left up the display because this is a matter of free speech and this cannot be taken down. That the students should be able to display cucumbers and condoms and a transgender Jesus, that they should be allowed to disparage the Christian faith. Now, the person who reached out to me this morning during our show actually made a fairly shocking revelation that it turns out there were a number of children on campus on Sunday. Many professors actually come to the school and they bring their children and their families to Sunday brunch after church. Many of them There were also apparently Boy Scouts. So there were a number of young boys on the university campus. And again, this was not in some sort of an obscure location. This was at the student dining center, the dining hall, where all of these people. So they meant for people to see this. But my question is very simple. Are you okay with your tax dollars being used to fund this nonsense? Seems to me somebody needs to be on the phone to Elon Musk of the Doge Committee saying, hey, you need to take a long, hard look at what's happening at the University of Tennessee at Martin. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Do you think the university did the right thing by taking down this blasphemy? It's unbelievable that this is going on, and of all places, West Tennessee. I mean, geez, hello. Come on, people. All right, look, we've been talking about this for a while now, and I'm excited that things are going so great for our friends at Old Glory Bank. Bank of America, a lot of the other big banks have been debanking so many conservatives, so many conservative business owners, which is why Old Glory Bank needs your consideration. Old Glory Bank is an FDIC-insured bank. It was created to protect your privacy, your security, and your liberty. Co-founded by my good friends Dr. Ben Carson, Larry Elder, and John Rich, Old Glory Bank now serves tens of thousands of customers in all 50 states. I want you to go check them out. OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. That's OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. Open up an account. You can put your money in the hands of people that you can actually trust.
Keep up with the Trump administration when you subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
I mean, if the people of Western Tennessee are okay with, you know, transgender Jesus art exhibits, all right, knock yourself out. But I thought it was interesting, Ben Dieter. The guy said what was fascinating is this is not Memphis, Tennessee or Knoxville. This is happening in Little Martin, Tennessee.
If there is a university that gets any state funding, listen, it will be woke. I don't care the size or where the school is actually at, Todd. I've had some interactions with this university. I've spoke to some of their journalism students. I actually had the opportunity to just do a Q&A with some of the kids. And you're right, it's not some big woke Ivy League school. I was shocked. When I saw this story, I wasn't surprised that this campus leaned left. Just based off my conversations with the journalism students, you would think they would be wanting to learn, maybe get a job in this industry. The kids are woke.
I forgot that you were doing, that's right, you did like a Zoom meeting with their journalism kids.
That's right. Oh, and geez. They were no fans of me. I'm young. I'm not saying you want to aspire to be Ben Dieter, but, you know, I managed to get my way through journalism school, got a job in Memphis, thanks to you. And when they found out that I sat right of center, it was as if I had a third eyeball. They just looked at me like I was a foreign alien.
You know what's fascinating? Several years ago, interviewed somebody for a gig, and they were dying to get a job in the industry, but they refused to, and they were very well qualified, but refused to accept the job. And you know why they did that? Because they said, my politics don't align with yours. Okay, well, fine, be unemployed then. But you know what? I got to thinking about that. I'm like, thank you. Thank you so much for telling me, because you're right. You would be a horrible employee.
Exactly. No, exactly. And I just think that even in what was the story you brought to air last week, this was in Knoxville. Yes, you heard the pastor say furries. It wasn't Memphis or Knoxville. Well, on Knoxville's campus, which is like the mother lode, this is like the mothership of the University of Tennessee, they had a furry organization. I don't care what state it is in the union, all 50 states, if that school gets state or federal dollars, you're going to see this crap.
You know, you see these stories, Campus Reform, the College Fix, and they sort of focus Young America's Foundation, and they do a really nice job of zeroing in on the really the wasteful spending. I mean, not only it's perversion, It's pornographic. I get that. And a lot of these kids don't need a college education. They need a trip to the psychiatric hospital because they're messed up. But yeah. My concern is my tax dollars are funding this nonsense.
And I just wonder, Todd, if that same art exhibit would have been, I don't know, pick a different religion. I don't want to pick any favorites or losers, or just think about if the roles were reversed and there was a student at the University of Tennessee Martin that did the same exhibit, but maybe like a transgender Muhammad.
That would not happen because that's a protected religion. You're not allowed to say anything about Islam at all. But Christianity and the Jews were fair game.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I just got a note from someone, and they wanted to offer a correction on, we mentioned the other exhibit, it was a cucumber and condom table.
They had a
table set up next to the transgender stuff. And by the way, this is all going into the cafeteria. On a Sunday, when you've got all these people coming out of church, they've got their families, the professors like to have brunch, so they bring the kids. They had the Boy Scouts on campus, and so they're getting to see transgender Jesus, and then they pass by the cucumber and condom table. Someone told me, Todd, those were not cucumbers. They were midget gherkins. So they're the teeny tiny little.
Oh, yeah. We stand corrected. Sorry about
that. My apologies. Yes, I didn't realize that. Yes. My condolences to the young ladies of UT Martin. But again, it goes back to what are we doing and how are we spending our money? And that is a Doge question. Why are we spending our money on this kind of garbage? That's what I want to know. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. You know, it's also President's Day. I couldn't figure out why traffic was light this morning, and then it turns out to be President's Day.
It's a big deal.
So we're going to throw out some trivia questions, and this is a doozy of a question, and we'll hook people up with Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved, my most recent book. Here's the first question. Who was the first president born in the United States? The first president born in the United States.
This is not George Washington?
Was it George Washington? Was it Abraham Lincoln, or was it Martin Van Buren? The first president born in the United States, George Washington, Martin Van Buren, or Abraham Lincoln? This is not a trick question, but it is a difficult question. Give us a call if you know the answer, and you will win a signed copy of my latest book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. If anybody's going to get it, they're going to be from Gainesville, Georgia. You know WDUN. If you're ever in a trivia competition at the local pub, you want somebody from Gainesville, Georgia on your team.
Are they good?
They're very beyond good. Yeah. They're beyond good. Have you heard, there was a crazy conversation on MSDNC, and they're now calling for President's Day to be eradicated because President Trump will be celebrated. So they say we should no longer be celebrating.
Of course. We've got to abolish President's Day now?
That's it. They want to get rid of... Yeah, that's it. As a matter of fact, we've got that audio. Let's take a listen.
All right, so the headline here is presidential historian says President's Day is ridiculous. We should scrap it? What do you mean?
It is a little bit silly. I mean, we have had some real duds, so I'm not sure we really want to be celebrating all presidents. And the tradition actually comes from celebrating birthdays, which is a celebration that we inherited from celebrating the king. And I'm just not sure that that's exactly what we want. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that we necessarily want to celebrate the people. I think that we want to have a certain respect for the office. I totally get that. And some have done extraordinary things, but by celebrating all of them, I do think it causes us to think of the president as somehow other, when in reality, they are a citizen just like everyone else.
So you mentioned this earlier in the show, the idea that Trump posted something just over the weekend where he quoted Napoleon Bonaparte-esque, saying, "He who saves his country does not violate any law." It feels like exactly the example of what you're saying we should push against.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I think if we think of a president as someone to celebrate just because they exist, which is what the king was, and that's why they celebrated the king's birthday, then you kind of, it does evolve into that argument that they can do no wrong.
King Donald the First. It has a nice ring to it. I mean, if we're going to have a royal family, the Trump family looks pretty darn royal. I put them up against the inbred folks over in the UK.
That's a touchy subject.
Let's go to the phone line. Speaking of Georgia, I knew it. Scotty is calling us from Georgia. Scotty, are you listening to us on WDUN?
Yes, sir.
I knew it. All right. Can you tell us, Scotty, the first president born in the United States, was it George Washington, was it Abraham Lincoln, or Martin Van Buren?
I hope I don't let you down. I'm thinking Van Buren.
Yes, Scotty, you are correct. The previous seven were born as British subjects, so Van Buren, the first American-born president. Hang tight, Scotty. Congratulations to you. And we're going to get you hooked up with a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming. We'll be right back, America.
Gaines Super Flings are here to take your laundry to the next level.
Talking about Gaines Super Flings. Super size laundry packs. These things are huge. Super fresh, super clean. Gaines Super Flings.
Gaines Super Flings laundry packs have 4 times the Oxi cleaning power and 3 times the Febreze freshness versus Gain Original Liquid.
Super fresh, super clean. Gaines Super Flings.
Gaines Super Flings for next level laundry.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Happy President's Day to you. And aren't you happy, ladies and gentlemen, to have the best president of all the presidents, Donald J. Trump, in office right now? I've never seen anything like this. So amazing. So amazing. So we're going to get to, we've got a lot of ground to cover. Coming up in just a little while, we're going to be talking to our good buddy Rod Bluey from the Daily Signal, the executive editor. Margaret Brennan making some horrifying comments, and we'll tell you more about that coming up in just a little while. But we did want to go to the phones. We've got a lot of folks wanting to weigh in. Write our telephone number down. You'll need it to call in today, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Mike in Gainesville, Georgia. And Mike wants to weigh in on some comments made by Jamal Bryant, who is the pastor of a mega church in Atlanta. Now, Mike, before we let you weigh in, I want to play those comments again, so if people were not listening in the first hour, they'll know what we're talking about. This pastor going on an anti-MAGA rant from the pulpit.
Come on, Public Enemy. I came to tell white supremacists. I came to tell MAGA. I came to tell white privilege. We coming. We coming. God said, when you give me glory, I'm going to run them out of the State Department. If you give me glory, I'm going to run them out of Congress and run them out of Senate. If
stop,
you give
stop.
Me glory.
My throat hurts. Stop. Mike, welcome to the show. What is going on here?
So, Todd, a few months ago, this thing, I'm not going to call him a pastor, but this same guy went to the gay and transgender community and said he was apologizing for all pastors and Christians on how the gays and transgenders are being treated by the churches. And then what happened was a lot of pastors and a lot of Christians got together and went after him and told him, how can you put our name on that?
Is that right? So this guy is a pro-drag queen, pro-transgender?
He is. The church used to belong to Bishop Eddie Long.
I see. So back then, was it ever a conservative church, or has it always been a liberal church? I mean, it's a massive congregation they've got.
Yeah, it's always been a liberal church, but for him to go and say that he's representing all Christians, and you can probably YouTube it and find it, but he was just saying he represented all Christians and he's representing, you know, everybody. He's not even from Atlanta. He's from up in New Jersey or somewhere. And he just, took over the church when that pastor died, because that pastor had controversy as well with the gay community.
Oh, yes, as in being an alleged member of the community. Oh, I remember that scandal back in the day. Yeah, that was pretty, mercy. Yeah, Mike, well, I appreciate you alerting us to that part of the story. I was not aware of that. I'm not terribly surprised by that at all. But the fact that any man of God would stand in a pulpit and call for violence against people, that to me is not a pastor of the word. That is a pastor for Satan. Mike, thank you for the call. Let's go to David in North Carolina, wants to weigh in on President's Day. So, David, according to MSDNC, it's time to do away with President's Day. What say you?
Well, you know, we have Reagan, we have Washington, we have Lincoln, all born in February, and that's part of the reason why we have President's Day, and there's probably more that I'm not even aware of, but what when you played the clip, it made me think of the fact that, you know, President's Day is a federal holiday, but Flag Day, June 14th, is not a federal holiday. That is Donald Trump's birthday. Is that what they're going to go after next?
Well, it could be. David, they hate this man. I mean, they can't stand him.
Yeah, I realize. You know, I tried to play devil's advocate with Tom Hanks. I said, okay, he was a Clinton Democrat, and back then there were just subtle differences between the two parties. But now that they've turned socialists, I still give Tom Hanks the benefit of the doubt until the SNL this past weekend. And I'm like, oh, he's still on board. You know, that it just kind of changed my opinion a little bit. I don't listen to Springsteen anymore because he was a Clinton fan, you know.
You know, it doesn't really, it shouldn't bother me, but I think it does. Whenever these guys, because it's not just like, oh, yeah, I'm supporting, you know, Barack Obama or whoever. It's like, you will support that person or you're evil. Well, you know what? I'm not going to sit around and listen to Springsteen music if the guy thinks I'm evil.
Exactly. Because, I mean, you try to see if thing is gray, not black and white, but we see it that way. As conservatives, and I don't claim a party. I'm a Christian conservative. And, you know, I always try to look at who is the most honest, who has got the best policy, but lately it's just not been that way.
No, I hear you, David, and I certainly appreciate your call. Thank you for that. I want to bring, speaking of Christianity and morality, Ben, I want to talk about something here that is, it's an issue. And it's an issue that a lot of conservatives are willing to turn a blind eye over. And I don't think we can do that, only because if this had been going on to the Democrat side of the aisle, that's all we would be talking about, is about the immorality of the Democrats. So here we go. There is a story that surfaced over the weekend involving a conservative influencer by the name of Ashley St. Clair. Now, Ashley St. Clair is 26 years old, and she came up through the Turning Point USA movement. And Ms. St. Clair is now claiming that she gave birth to Elon Musk's baby. So she's saying that Elon is the baby daddy. And it is causing...
Just casually dropping that on Valentine's Day, yeah. By the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally by saying, quote, 5 months ago, I welcomed a new baby into the world. Elon Musk is the father. Just let that to kind of ferment a little bit.
So now people are saying, or they're claiming that she laid a trap for Elon about a half a decade ago to snare Elon as her would-be baby daddy, which would have been, I guess, when she was 20 years old. That's the allegation now. And Elon is weighing in rather coyly on his social media platforms. But he's got a lot of kids himself. I mean, it's like the Duggar family with multiple wives over there.
Yeah.
He has
12 kids. Yeah. With what, four, five?
Three other women. But now with St. Clair, I think that's four.
Yeah.
And then there's the toddler X. That's the one that's been showing up at the White House all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the argument is, how dare you criticize Elon Musk and Ashley St. Clair? Who do you think you are? You know, this is their private business, and they should be left alone. But if it was anybody else on the left, we'd be all over this, right?
Yeah. Well, I think the right has kind of assumed a new lane and a new mantle that we wanted to carry, which is we need to have more babies. Babies, babies, babies. I mean, these guys, Elon Musk, Tucker Carlson, all these guys have been talking about how the population is declining, dwindling, so therefore the antidote, the solution to that would be pop out kids. Pop out kids at what cost? I mean, because Elon Musk right now is doing a fantastic job, and it's the pro-family way to do it, right? Have kids. But is it pro-family to, if it is true, girl gets knocked up, I hate to say it, and that girl has to raise baby number, what, 13 without a dad, or a dad and mom that live in the house together. So I get we're trying to be pro-family by being procreating, but is it pro-family to have a separated? Because the story here is that Ashley St. Clair, the baby mama, has been living in a penthouse in New York, which Elon Musk funded for her. I mean, Todd, we're talking like thousands and thousands of dollars to put her up in this swanky apartment, but the dad doesn't want to really be a part of the baby's life. So that's the gist of the controversy right now. How pro-family is this?
So my question is, why is she reaching out to him on X? Why doesn't she just call him? She doesn't have his number? I've just found that to be a weird part of the whole story here. Anyway, Kylie Jane Creamer is heading up the Women for America First March for Trump movement. She's a former producer over at Hannity, and here's what she had to say. She's upset with the folks that are out there saying we've got to give Elon his privacy. She says that Ashley St. Clair literally paraded her crazy on the front porch and invited the media to capture it. Elon is the head of Doge, and this is an interesting way of looking at this. Elon is the head of Doge. If anyone is running a honey trap or trying to extort a powerful man close to President Trump, then it is all of our business. It should concern every American, as it potentially puts Trump and his administration in danger. This is a valid point, which was the concern about Pete Hegseth, right? That was ultimately what they were trying to get at. It wasn't that he was having all of these affairs or whatever. The question is, would it put him in a position where he could be in a trap? That was the issue. She says, we are not like the Democrats who just turn the other cheek, like they do with Hunter Biden and his family, continuing to deny his daughter that resulted from an affair and his massive drug problem. This isn't about the child. No one cares about if they had a baby out of wedlock. Maybe some do, but that is the part that I believe not to be our business. The baby is innocent in all of this. The issue is how all of this came about and the clear ulterior motives that Ashley has. Mm-hmm. May I just say, the conservative movement has a massive problem on its hands. The fact that, how old is she? 26 years old, and they're calling her a conservative influencer. Now, there used to be a time when the influencers were people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. They built a platform. They built a reputation, a career, and as a result of that, you had influence. Now, if you're a hot chick or a dude, and you're out there, and you've got a social media platform, all of a sudden, all of these people are becoming conservatives. I got a problem with that. We worship people. I'll tell you a great example, Kanye West, right? You know, he came out, claimed to be a Christian, and people, the next thing you know, according to a lot of the young conservative movement, Kanye West was the next Billy Graham.
He did write a pretty good song about Chick-fil-A on Sunday, but Billy Graham, that's a stretch. I think he even got invited to, like, CPAC. Not quite. Pretty close.
Look, yeah, that's the thing. So now what's happening is the conservative movement is they're jettisoning all of their culture war issues. That's what they're doing. And I know this is going to frighten some folks, but this is the reality of where we're at right now. You are going to have a conservative movement that will be full of the same kind of debauchery that you condemn the Democrats for having.
Yeah.
And people will embrace it under the MAGA movement. That's what's happening right now. And people like Tony Perkins, for example, a family research council, actually one of the good guys in Washington, D.C., people like him are now ostracized within the Republican Party and the conservative movement because he's not willing to surrender the values that he holds. Do you have a problem with that?
That's a great question. So I think the thinking going into the election was the party is too narrow. The party is too small tent. And so we're going to change the roles of the RNC, and this is how you build a Reagan-esque party. You open up the tent, and everybody kind of comes in. And they believe this is how you win elections. But are we as conservatives going to ever retain the moral high ground if we have had to sacrifice some of our conservative bona fides in order to win an election?
I go back to Turning Point USA, and years ago, they exposed a problem they've got, is that somebody got up and talked about being pro-abortion, pro-choice, right? And excuse me, if you're pro-abortion, if you're pro-choice, you're pro-abortion. That's what you're really about, okay? And they refused to let somebody stand up and argue the point with the person that was speaking. Mm-hmm. That happened several years back. So now you're in a situation where they're even celebrating things like the popular thing in the LGBT movement is to go out and buy babies, right? So you can have your own baby. So you had a couple of conservative activists going out there, and you had a lot of the Turning Point USA people celebrating the fact that two gay guys went out there and they bought a baby. You know, that used to be a problem for conservatives. But to your point now, they've got to have this big tent, and not everybody's going to be able to exist in the tent. So the question is, what happens to all of the, you know, the church-going people who oppose all this kind of stuff? Where do they end up going?
Another great example is Caitlyn Jenner. Was that Bruce? Bruce. No, so that became a pillar of the Republican Party. Boys are boys and girls are girls. And then you've got Bruce / Caitlyn sitting on the panel of every Fox News set having the discussion. And there's a little bit of cognitive disconnect there, dissonance, and I don't know where we really end up with this thinking, because we've kind of accepted everything.
We have, and now it's an anything goes party, and here's the thing, and because they have jettisoned the values, right? And so now it's a matter of whatever it takes to stay in power, we're going to do. That is a dangerous path to go down. And so conservatives, you need to pay very close attention to what's happening here. Because you don't have a conservative movement here. You have an America First movement, and you're just happy to be a part of the ride. But they will jettison you. The more they embrace the whole, you know, having babies out of wedlock and going out there and purchasing babies and embracing the culture at large, the conservative Christians are going to get shoved to the side here. Oh, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern.
Working hard is worth it if you're seeing results. And when it comes to working out, the same thing is true. You want the maximum benefit in the time you have. And that's exactly what Tonal is built for. And with their latest iteration, Tonal 2, you can ensure your workout is more tailored and effective than ever. Tonal's at-home strength training system uses adaptive weight to learn from your movement and set the optimal weight for every move, adjusting in one-pound increments up to 250 pounds, challenging even the most advanced users to push their limits. You can also experience a full body burn with the new Aero HIIT workouts, the perfect blend of heart-pumping cardio and strength. Plus, the new built-in Smart View leverages a high-resolution camera that lets you see yourself during your workout, analyzes your movement, and provides real-time coaching, just like a personal trainer. Right now, Tonal is offering our listeners $200 off your Tonal purchase with promo code 200TONAL. That's Tonal.com, and use promo code 200TONAL for $200 off your purchase. That's Tonal.com. Promo code 200TONAL for $200 off.
All right. Thousands of people gathering in Washington to protest their jobs getting whacked. By the way, have you seen the real estate numbers? Hundreds and hundreds of homes in the D.C. area now going up for sale almost overnight as these government workers lose their jobs. What I find fascinating here is the average price, about $3 to $4 million, these homes. I want to know, how is it that these government workers are able to afford $3 and $4 million homes? Anybody want to explain that one? By the way, it is also President's Day, and we're celebrating by tossing out a little bit of presidential history and trivia. And we've got a question for you. And this is going to be true or false. True or false, did raccoons live at the White House during the Calvin Coolidge administration? Raccoons. Not by accident, but was that intentional?
The little trash pandas?
They're what?
They're trash pandas.
I've never heard them called that before.
They are little pandas that exist in trash cans. Wait, they were at the White House?
Well, true or false, we don't know.
I'm doing my Googling now.
Did they live at the White House, true or false? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. If you get it right, we're going to hook you up with a copy of my brand new book. It's called Twilight's Last Gleaming. Can America Be Saved? We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to this President's Day edition of the Todd Stearns Radio Program. What an honor to have you with us today, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Bartlett, Tennessee. Charles is listening to us on KWAM. Charles, I was just in your fine community the other day.
How you doing, Todd?
Charles, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Let's try to win you a prize here. We were wanting to know, true or false question, a raccoon lived at the White House during Calvin Coolidge's time in office.
I think it's true.
Yeah, that's right. Well done, Charles. So this is sort of a weird, sort of creepy story, but back in 1926, Calvin Coolidge had some fans out there across the fruited plain, and they shipped him a live raccoon, and the point of that was to roast the raccoon for Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, wow.
I guess it tastes like turkey. I don't know.
I've never had a raccoon myself.
So, well, the Coolidge family didn't either. They decided, you know what, we're going to take, that's going to be a hard pass. So they decided to let the raccoon live in the White House and actually appeared at Christmas time with a red ribbon in its fur.
Oh, my.
There you go.
My.
Charles,
there you go.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Todd. I'm an avid listener.
Well, we're thankful for that, and thank you for listening to KWAM in Memphis. Hang tight, and the lovely Miss Cassie will get your info. Well, another big story we've been talking about involves CBS News and Margaret Brennan. And to say that she has stepped in it would, in fact, be an understatement. As a matter of fact, Margaret Brennan, over the weekend, suggesting that the Holocaust was caused because of free speech. Take a listen to the back and forth between her and the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio. Cut three.
Well, he was standing in a country where free speech was weaponized to conduct a genocide. And he met with the head of a political party that has far-right views and some historic ties to extreme groups. The context of that was changing the tone of it. And you know that the censorship
I have to disagree with you. Free speech was not used to conduct a genocide. The genocide was conducted by an authoritarian Nazi regime that happened to also be genocidal because they hated Jews and they hated minorities and they hated those that they had a list of people they hated, but primarily the Jews. There was no free speech in Nazi Germany. There was none. There was also no opposition in Nazi Germany. They were a sole and only party that governed that country. So that's not an accurate reflection of history.
All right, I want to bring into the conversation Rob Bluey, who is the president and executive editor of the Daily Signal. Rob, good to have you back with us.
Todd, it's good to talk to you today. Happy President's Day.
Well, likewise, you ever had a raccoon by any chance?
I did not know that, but thank you for the history lesson there. It was well done, sir.
We do what we can to educate the people, so it's our pleasure. Rob, what the heck is going on at CBS News? This is insanity.
It is, Todd. That had to be one of the stupidest things that I've ever heard on a Sunday morning talk show. I think that that Margaret Brennan probably needs to freshen up on her history, and clearly she went to a school that did not either teach about Nazi Germany, or she is so delusional in terms of what the left-wing media propagate and try to, you know, pin Republicans down on these particular things. I don't know where she would have even come up with that idea. I mean, it is just so absurd to suggest such a thing. And frankly, you would think that the news media would be the ones championing free speech and the First Amendment, and yet here it is. They seem like they want to limit our ability to communicate and share information. I'm just flabbergasted.
And this is nothing new. This is part of an ongoing campaign to really whittle away at our First Amendment freedoms. And I'm going to go back to something that Minnesota Governor Tim Walz said out on the campaign trail last year about free speech. Cut number 10, please.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
You know what bothers me about this, Rob? There was a study done, Pew Research. This was about a decade ago. And at the time, 40% of then millennials, 40% said there should be limitations placed on controversial or offensive speech. And there was a survey done by FIRE last year suggesting that an overwhelming number of Gen Zers now believe there ought to be limitations on speech. Are you surprised by those numbers?
Todd, I'm not surprised because I myself went to a college, and this is more than 20 years ago, where you had a bias-related incidents committee that went through, and they basically, all of those things that you just heard the vice presidential candidate Tim Walz say, this is being carried out on our college campuses. So, I mean, students have been coddled and they've been told that certain types of speech are not allowed. And so naturally, when it comes to asking them questions about the First Amendment or when they are confronted with information they might disagree with, they are going to resort to what they've been taught in colleges or even high schools, that yes, it's okay to censor certain types of speech because maybe it doesn't fit within, you know, what is politically correct at the moment. And so I think it's deeply troubling. But I think that the fact that you have news anchors like Margaret Brennan and others, notable Democrat politicians, you know, governor of a state, for goodness sake, that they don't have a recollection of what the importance of free speech is, that's where I think it really begins to be troubled. And this is where Elon Musk, thankfully, has restored free speech, and I think it's put pressure on other people like Mark Zuckerberg at Meta and Facebook to make sure that they are not censoring. Now, they still are not perfect. I will give you that. But, I mean, I think we're certainly in a better position today as a result of Musk and Donald Trump and the things he's doing at the White House than we were in the past.
By the way, folks, we have Rob Bluey from the Daily Signal on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And, Rob, the irony here is that later in the day, so that took place on Face the Nation Sunday morning, then Sunday night on 60 Minutes, they're all over and honestly celebrating the German crackdown on free speech in Germany. And I want to listen. We're going to be listening to three German prosecutors explaining why it is a crime to post an insult or repost a lie on social media. Cut 8.
Is it a crime to insult somebody in public?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
And it's a crime to insult them online as well?
Yes.
The fine could be even higher.
Yeah.
If you insult someone in the internet.
Why?
Because in internet, it stays there. If we are talking here face to face, you insult me, I insult you, okay, finish. But if you in the internet, if I insult you or a politician,
that sticks around forever.
Yeah.
The prosecutors explain German law also prohibits the spread of malicious gossip, violent threats, and fake quotes. If somebody posts something that's not true, and then somebody else reposts it or likes it, are they committing a crime?
Yeah, in the case of reposting, it is a crime as well, because the reader can't distinguish whether you just invented this or just reposted it. That's the same for us.
The punishment for breaking hate speech laws can include jail time for repeat offenders.
All right, Rob, this is insanity. But by the way, to their point, though, okay, fine. If that's what they want in America, that means every person who wrote and said that Hunter Biden's laptop was a fake story, they go to jail.
True. I mean, yes, you'd have to you'd have to enforce the law equally, I would suspect. Now, whether or not a judge would uphold that in the United States. But this is why I'm so grateful that we have the Bill of Rights, why we have, you know, those guaranteed protections in our Constitution that allow you and me as a radio host, as a publisher in the Daily Signal, we can think about the challenges we would face on a daily basis if we lived in a society like Germany and some of the situations that those individuals there are now having to contemplate. This is why Vice President J.D. Vance said the biggest threat to Europe is Europe itself. Because it's not adhering to those values that, my goodness, have been, you know, part of the tradition for thousands of years. I mean, remember, I mean, think about the great democratic, you know, institutions in ancient Rome and ancient Greece. I mean, what's wrong with the people today where, you know, an insult will result in some sort of fine? I mean, it's just crazy. And again, to your point about CBS News, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm thankful that CBS News is exposing this absurdity, but at the same time, if you look back at some of the recent things that have transpired at 60 Minutes and CBS News more broadly, you just have to wonder what's going on over at that network.
Yeah, I'm very concerned because they were once a storied news organization that brought folks the likes of Walter Cronkite and Edward R. Murrow, and now you have a situation where they're trying to shut down free speech in America, and that's what concerns me. And by the way, If they are successful, this what Margaret Brennan said wasn't just out of the blue. I don't think she misspoke. I think there is an effort to try and tie in free speech to the Holocaust, and I'm concerned about what this country is going to look like 5-10 years down the road if we don't put a stop to that kind of indoctrination in the classrooms.
Well, that is true, and another point. I mean, it doesn't seem that those in the legacy media can go a day without drawing some sort of comparison between the Republican Party or conservatives and Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. I mean, it's just grown so you know, outrageous that they make those comparisons to begin with. But to your point about education in the classroom, yes, this is where it has to start. It has to start at I think at a young age to make sure that the American school children understand the values that we hold dear, and one of them obviously is free speech, the freedom of religion. I mean, all of those great things that are in the First Amendment. And I am so proud of the fact that conservatives are now the ones that are championing it, because I felt for far too long you had groups like the ACLU and others on the left that certainly held up the First Amendment as their platform. And I think that probably, you know, has shifted as the ACLU and others have now decided to move into different areas that they're focused on. So I'm grateful that Todd, you're out there and you're a champion of the First Amendment and free speech. And I think that if we are to push back against this narrative, and if we're going to correct what's going on in our education system, we have to be doing it every day. We have to be reminding people of what it says and the rights that we have as Americans.
I think that's a great point, Rob. And, you know, since, you know, I left Fox, which has been almost, 5 years ago now, you know, our website's almost 3 million page views a month. You've got the radio platform. I think people are just hungry for news and information, which is one of the reasons why they're flocking now to the Daily Signal and the great work that you guys are doing. And real quick, where can people go, Rob, if they want to subscribe and get more information on what you guys are doing there at Daily Signal?
Well, they can go to dailysignal.com, sign up for our email newsletters, or follow us on social media. And you're absolutely correct that I think that the American people are craving alternatives to 60 Minutes and CBS News. And thankfully, they're coming to places like yours and mine.
All right, Rob, we're going to leave it there. Always good hearing from you. And folks, head over to the dailysignal.com. Again, dailysignal.com. And you're going to be able to find all sorts of great news, exclusives, scoops, all, and also some great commentary as well. Rob, appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, there you go, folks. Got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Again, that number is 901-260-5926. Coming up tonight, 5 o'clock on Newsmax, we're going to have a great, great show. And I can't wait for you to be a part of our great show on Newsmax. We're going to be doing a deep dive into Margaret Brennan, also that 60 Minutes piece. And by the way, millions of people are watching Newsmax now, and you need to consider making the switch. A lot of folks now turning off Fox And what are they doing? They're turning into Newsmax for breaking news and information. Reuters calling Newsmax now one of the top news brands in America. And I want to encourage you, watch my show tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, and you'll be able to find out why Newsmax is one of the top news brands in America. By the way, you can also download our Newsmax app for free, and you can start watching right away. You're going to be able to find out why millions of Americans have already made the switch. President Trump, one of them. Again, check us out on cable, satellite TV, or you can download the Newsmax app. You can watch us anytime. Remember, folks, Newsmax is real news for real people. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to Iowa and say hello to Jerry. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind today?
Your bumper music is on my mind, which I always really like. But I want to talk about that. The social older Americans know that it is the socialists who concocted this polarization of the terms far left and far right. And far left and far right historically have nothing whatsoever to do with American philosophical thought. Far left is a Marxist term, and far right is a Marxist term. And by left, I mean communism, and right, I mean fascism. In the Cold War era especially, the Russians and the Germans during the World War II were really cousins who hate each other's guts. Because if you realize that USSR, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, was communism, and the Nazis, that if you translate that term, stands N-A-Z-I in German, stands for National Socialist Workers' Party. So the far right and the far right left have nothing whatsoever to do with American thought historically. They're both Marxist terms. So it's just another phrase that the left has commandeered and used to polarize us. So you know, I'm a conservative Christian. I'm not far right. My political expression is derived directly from the Judeo-Christian roots that America comes out of. And you really, you know, this other thing about separating social Christian values out of political thought is another terrible mistake. You can't really be a conservative, a Judeo-Christian American conservative, and just have fiscal and liberty ideas and then not have the social values too, because it's really comes from the same root. This is Jerry's little political.
Yeah, but Jerry, look, I'm not disagreeing with you, but there are those out there who would say that we have no business having those people in the party. And by those people, I mean conservative Christians. And this was an argument that goes back to before this would have been back in the Jerry Ford years, when you had Phyllis Schlafly out there in the Eagle Forum and the conservative Christian women out there protesting the Equal Rights Amendment. Jerry Ford's wife, Betty Ford, was a liberal, and she really despised the conservatives like the Phyllis Schlaflys out there. And so that's really where this, you know, there's always been conflict in the modern Republican Party with the Christian community.
I really liked Phyllis Schlafly, and I've also always loved Alan Keyes. American thought and American origins go back to the Judeo-biblical roots of the founding of our country, and you cannot sort out or separate out or pick and choose. It's the root is the Lord God in the Bible, and you might like the fruits of the tree in America, but you're not going to have that anymore. If there's a guy, I went to a Bible study, a guy named Kerry Livgren.
All right, Jerry. Yeah, we're running right out of time here. But I wanted to make sure I got your point in there, and I think we did. And you're right. It is going to be a grave and egregious mistake if we shove God out of the way just for the America First agenda. That agenda will not work if you take the Christians out of the movement. And that is just a reminder here, folks, because that's where it's all going. We're just trying to give you a heads up here. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 of The Big Show coming up. 901-260-5926 our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll have some more President's Day trivia, too. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Good to have you with us today. By the way, Al Sharpton. It's the gift that keeps on giving, this guy. Al Sharpton was on MSDNC, and he's really upset over President's Day and the Trump administration. And here's what Al Sharpton had to say about that. Cut number 9.
One day, our children's children will read American history. And can you imagine our reading that James Madison or Thomas Jefferson tried to overthrow the government so they could stay in power? That's what we're looking at. We're looking at American history.
No, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine Thomas Jefferson or James Madison, even George Washington. Could you imagine if George Washington tried to overthrow the government? No, not at all. I don't believe that. Come on, Al Sharpton.
This guy's a busy dude. Did you see him? He was at SNL. Last night, or was that just
Saturday
when they aired
night?
It?
Yeah, yeah,
Saturday night.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. So he was in the audience. He's a very busy, popular guy, this one.
Is that who Tom Hanks refused to shake hands with?
Possibly.
So that was Keenan Wynans.
Yeah.
If it was Sharpton, I could figure that out. By the way, Jasmine Crockett, Pentator, thank you for sending me this treasure trove. Jasmine Crockett, a graduate of Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee, had this to write: Happy President's Day to those that weren't psychopaths worshiping Putin who spout lies off as consistently as the rest of us take our breaths. I think there's a typo there. Oh, and no happy President's Day to shadow presidents either. Where does she write that? The woman is, this is, she was clearly was not an English major.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, SN, what does that mean, SN?
A side note, maybe?
Side note?
Sure.
Shadow Prez in his feelings. I see they found an uneducated black woman to rant, FYI. The internet can tell you which committees I'm on, boo. Again, y'all love a fool. Learn civics, too. Ask your new boo, Elon, to come before Congress under penalty for any laws and to testify and give recommendations. The power of the purse belongs to Congress, as laid out in the Constitution. Elon ain't got that power. Can anyone who actually watches C-SPAN guess what committees I'm on?
No, because no one watches C-SPAN. No one's watching you.
You saw what I sent her a note.
Oh, you did?
I did.
What'd you say, Todd?
Hey, boo, you're one ignorant woman.
Is there more to it?
No, that's it.
Oh, that's it.
Shortened to the point.
Wow, that's a side note.
You know, I don't mind if you're, you know, snarky, but you got to at least be, you know, grammatically correct.
This woman not only went to Rhodes, which I'm ashamed, because that's a really expensive, high-dollar institution. She was an attorney. I mean, this woman apparently passed the bar, Todd. And if you read this, this is how, no shade to my mom, but this is how my mom texts me during the show. It's just very short. My mom's very busy, and she just sends all of the, this is a sitting member of Congress and a woman who allegedly passed the bar, and I can't read any of this.
I don't get it. I just don't get that at all. And it's really a shame because, you know, she could actually have been something. She could have done something. And just because you're a progressive, just because you're liberal doesn't mean
you have to be an ignorant one.
That's right. Thank you.
Thank you.
It is what it is. I'm just saying. 901-260-5926. Who's your favorite president? Do you have a favorite president out there? I know a lot of people love Trump, but others may have, you know, could be somebody like, you know, Millard Fillmore, somebody like that.
Who?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Who?
Oh, Lord. What are they teaching you kids in school these days? That's what I'm concerned about.
Trump, Obama, Clinton. That's about
it. And you're a political science major, for crying out loud.
I know. I don't even know that I could tell you the names of the people on Mount Rushmore, truthfully, to be honest. And I study
government.
How do
you not know the people on Mount Rushmore?
Abraham Lincoln, Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln.
You already said that.
George Washington.
Okay, one more.
Thomas Edison.
I just said it. No, not Thomas Edison.
What?
Good Lord.
Who is
I just told you his name.
Thomas Jefferson?
No. Okay, you'll think about it.
Okay, let me Google.
So, you know, a lot of radio stations around the country are doing Black History Month celebrations. February is Black History Month. And I get a kick out of this because the radio station I own in Memphis, we go out of our way to intentionally trigger the left only because they've never had anybody here who could actually do that. So we feel obligated to trigger the left as much as humanly possible. And one of the ways...
Even in the month of February?
Especially in the month of February.
Wow.
So one of the ways we do that is because typically when you're... You know, and there's another radio station in town. They claim to be conservative.
They're not.
They're lazy and woke. And I'm not sure which is worse. But they actually honored Stacey Abrams.
They apparently brand themselves, Todd, as the Fox News conservative radio station in town, and they're celebrating Stacey Abrams and Michelle Obama for Black History Month.
Ain't nothing conservative. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Michelle Obama?
Yeah.
They're honoring her, too?
Yeah, and they're conservative, quote, unquote.
So what we decided to do was a little research, and I thought, you know what? Why don't we start honoring blacks who actually do something and did something with their lives? And it turns out, during the course of my history, I was stunned. I was astounded to find out this information. But the Republican Party in Memphis, Tennessee, was actually started by Black Memphians.
What?
And back in the day, Memphis was home to very prominent Black leaders of industry, banking, education, and they were all Republican. Not Democrat, Republican. You know what the Democrats were doing during that time of the 20th century? They were running around in bedsheets burning crosses in the front lawns of these successful Black Republicans.
Were they Giza Dream Sheets?
They were very nice sheets.
Okay.
Yeah, promo code Stearns. Promo code Stearns. So
that's insane.
So in honor of Black History Month on the radio station I own, we're actually sharing the stories of the true history of Memphis. And honestly, these are stories that should be taught in our public schools, but they won't, because they want people to think that Black people have been oppressed in this country and are still being oppressed. When in fact, in the days after the Civil War or the War of Northern Aggression, in the days after that, you had Blacks, many of them were former slaves, coming up out of slavery and making names for themselves and claiming their new American dream. And those are the kinds of stories, but they're not going to tell those stories because they want you to think that back in the 1990s, that people were not 1890s, but the 1990s, people were still chained together singing spirituals as they were picking cotton in the Mississippi Delta. I'm just saying. I get wound up over this because this is the bee in my bonnet, because they love to divide this country. And instead of the division, we ought to be celebrating what is good. And I want to share one of those stories with you. That's where I was getting around to. Anyway, the history is largely ignored, and it's not taught in our local schools. And I guarantee you, it's not just Memphis. But the first Black millionaire in America actually came from Memphis, Tennessee. So we did have a lot of firsts. As a matter of fact, you had four Black men, and they actually started a very successful chain of drugstores. They owned one of the first teams, baseball teams, in the old Negro Leagues. They were one of the few Black owners in the Negro Leagues to actually own their own stadium. That was unheard of. Anyway, if you're ever in downtown Memphis and you've been to our waterfront, you've been near the FedEx Forum where the Grizzlies play NBA basketball, you have probably parked at an area called Lee's Landing. And also there is a post office in downtown Memphis called the Lee Post Office. And a lot of folks think, oh, well, that's named after Robert E. Lee. That's racist. You got to burn it all down. Burn, baby, burn. No, it was not named after Robert E. Lee. It was actually named after a gentleman named George Washington Lee, who was a prominent black soldier. He was a lieutenant in the military, and he was also a Republican leader from Memphis. And he moved here in 1912, and he got a job as a bellhop at the Gayoso Hotel in downtown. And he went on to join the Army. He served in World War I, and then he became a very successful and very wealthy insurance executive. This is a black guy around the turn of the century. Mr. Lee was very active in the Republican Party, and in 1928, he served as the National Director of Veterans for Hoover, Herbert Hoover, the guy who didn't want to eat the raccoon, that Herbert Hoover. He also, get this, Ben Dieter, and again, they want to talk about how all the Republicans are just racist, racist Republicans. Again, while the Republicans were registering black people to vote in Memphis, Tennessee, the Democrats were burning crosses in their front yards. Just want to put things in perspective.
Thank you.
In 1952, Mr. Lee, a black man, was invited to deliver a speech at the Republican National Convention. That's huge.
Yeah.
He also was invited to the White House because he was responsible for delivering Tennessee to President Dwight Eisenhower. And guess what? During that time, very few Republicans were actually able to win elections in Memphis. And does that sound familiar? Not only that, he was also the Grand Commissioner of Education for the Elks, the Elks Club.
Yeah.
And he emphasized, and this was his platform, he emphasized black pride through education and the expansion of African-American businesses. New York Times eulogized him as a leader in among Memphis Republican blacks. His portrait is displayed to this day in the rotunda of the Tennessee State Capitol. And he was also a New York Times best-selling author. Why don't the children of Memphis, Tennessee know about Mr. Lee? Why don't they know about Robert Church, the man who actually, the black man who founded the Republican Party here? Why aren't they learning those stories of the philanthropist, the wealthy business owners, the successful stories of blacks? Why are they learning? And I mean no disrespect to somebody like Glorilla, who's actually giving back in her education. But why are the kids, they all know about Glorilla. They all know about Stacey Abrams, the romance novelist. But they don't know about people like George Washington Lee. And I think that's sad.
Yeah.
901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So one of the things we're doing on the radio station I own, we do these little one-minute vignettes on Black History Month, and we have one for Condoleezza Rice. We've got one for Robert Church. And we've got a long list of very successful black men and women who really did aspire to claim that American dream. Those are the individuals that the new generations should aspire to be like. Right? And if we don't tell those stories, nobody else will. But I'm telling you right now, Ben Dieter, it will drive the left nuts.
Yeah. Because you are doing the opposite of the perception. Perceptions is that Republicans can't celebrate. Have you noticed this, that Republicans can't even celebrate Black History Month because they're racist? And so for you to take back this month, and that's what Republicans ought to be doing, and say, yeah, you want to talk about black excellence? We can do that. And it started within Republican Party politics and a lot of these black leaders, which gave allegiance to the R side and not the Democrat side.
That's it. Because the Democrats were burning crosses in the front yards of black people.
Wait, they're always talking about book bans and burning books. Are these the books that we've banned, or stories like this? Because I've never heard these stories.
But they're not in the history books. Because, again, to tell these kinds of stories would say, well, wait a second, we've gone from having multimillionaires, you know, in the black business community and great educators and bankers and historians and authors and musicians to where we are now. And people are saying, what happened? What happened? And it is a great question, and that's something that must be addressed. All right, we got to take a quick break here, folks. Going to the phones, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Enjoying the lack of traffic out there around the nation. A lot of folks staying home, getting the day off because it is President's Day. Hey, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Terry in North Carolina. Hi, Terry. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. Thank you so much. We really love your show and all the topics you bring up. Well, I called because my husband told me I should call this into you. On Friday, we received mail from the IRS. We're not home, so I have informed delivery from the Postal Service. So it's an image of mail that comes in. And there was a piece of mail from the IRS. It was addressed to my mother-in-law's estate with me as the executrix. And it said, it's a 1041 ES, estimated income tax for estate. And you get that pit in your stomach when it first comes in like that, and then we had filed all the necessary tax forms and paperwork after her death. The thing is, she died in 2014, so that's 11 years ago. So I checked, and there's a statute of limitations for an IRS audit of a deceased person's estate, and I just thought I'd have to deal with it when I got home, but since we're away. But I mentioned it to my friend, who said she received one for their relative who died in 2009. And in opening the envelope, it was envelopes in the side for filing estimated taxes for the deceased person. And that person died 16 years ago. So that's a tremendous waste of money that the IRS is sending out these envelopes. We've never gotten anything like this before in all these years.
Now, it's my understanding, and Terry, let me preface this by saying I am not a tax guy. I'm not an accountant. But it's my understanding that the IRS can, there is a statute of limitations, and it's up to 3 years after the death, which would put your relative far out of that timeline.
Exactly. So that's why I don't know why this is happening. I don't know if it's new IRS agents or whatever, but it's a tremendous waste of taxpayer funds to mail out all these envelopes to people who wouldn't want to file.
It certainly is. Now, Terry, do you have an accountant or do you know somebody who might be an accountant?
I do. We're not home. We're down in North Carolina at the moment, so I could give her a call, but I just figured I'd have to deal with this when I got home. But when I found out it's envelopes, you know, and my friend got, you know, the same thing from 2009, I thought, you know, this is
that sounds a little suspicious to me. And it sounds like the IRS may be up to something here. If I were you, and I suspect your accountant's going to tell you, hey, reach out to a tax attorney who could probably give you the lowdown here. But again, my understanding of the law is they've got there's a 3-year statute of limitations. So Terry, check in with the accountant, the tax attorney, and they should be able to get you taken care of lickety-split. All right, Terry, enjoy North Carolina. That music means we've got to scoot out for a quick break. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Themselves. Well, I can express myself as well. And let me just say this. If there was a painting of Muhammad with underage girls, by the way, he had multiple 9-year-old girls that was around. He was a pedophile. If we had done pictures of him and we put that up, guess what would happen? There'd be lawsuits against the campus all over the place. All this stuff would be happening. People would be up in an uproar. But it's okay because it's Jesus. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. And I'll tell you what needs to happen. More than just me needs to contact our chancellor. I've already sent him an email. I sent him an email on Friday night requesting a meeting with him this week. Then I called Mike Sams at First Baptist. He said, brother, you tell me when it is and I'll go with you. But listen, it needs to be more than just me. I'll tell you what needs to happen. This week, you need to flood his email boxes. Brother Colin, now you're meddling. No, I'm not. The reason why I'm saying this is because this, friends, you may say, well, we hate it, but the lost world is going to do what the lost world is going to do. Yes, and we're followers of Christ, and we need to do what we've been called to do. Stand up for Jesus.
All right, a little righteous indignation there from the pastor of the Central Baptist Church in Martin, Tennessee. So we told you about this story in the first hour of the show where an art exhibit that was displayed in a very prominent area of the University of Tennessee at Martin has caused all sorts of chaos in western Tennessee. This art display featured a transgender Jesus portrait along with an individual dressed in clerical garb killing a lamb. Then there was another table that was simply labeled cucumbers and condoms. I want to bring into the conversation Steve Gill, who is a top Tennessee political contributor, and also the voice you just heard there, the pastor at Central Baptist Church in Martin, Kylan Mann. Steve, pastor, good to have you both with us today.
Allah Akbar, I just can't wait to come to the UT Martin transgender Muhammad event.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Pastor, I want to start with you. So you found out about this, and I was just really impressed that you actually spoke about this from the pulpit, because a lot of pastors just don't talk about these kinds of things anymore.
Well, Todd, once again, first of all, let me say this. Thank you for having me on the show. But I love our campus, man. We are blessed to have the campus here at UT Martin that we have. But there's a time and place, and once again, for this to be used as an art exhibit and in the UC where students have to go through to pass to go to the cafeteria, you know, the statement is this, you know, they say we can't pray anymore because you have a captive audience. Well, the thing is, there's a captive audience right there that has to see it, those students that have to eat. And so there's this right here that we need to take a stand, and they have placed a statement out, and after the sermon, I will say this. There was a college student that went and took a picture of it, and then it went viral, and because of that, by around 2 o'clock, 2 to 3 o'clock, it was gone. So they have taken it down, and we praise the Lord for that.
So Steve, when you look at what's happening statewide, of course, you've got the University of Tennessee Knoxville hosting the Furries Club, spending a lot of our tax money promoting that kind of debauchery. And now you have what's happening at UT Martin. Are these anomalies, or do we have a problem here in the state of Tennessee?
Sadly, our campuses are as woke as any of the most woke in the Northeast or out in California. I was actually on the board of trustees of the university at one point, and in addition to the furries at UT Knoxville, they used to have Sex Week at UT Knoxville, promoting all the different kinds of perversion. I will say, Todd, that once I saw your story, I was on with Ben Dieter on KWAM locally this morning. I immediately texted Randy Boyd, the president of the university, and he said they took it down as soon as they became aware of it. But at the same time, somebody knew they were putting it up. Somebody gave exactly approval for it to go up. And that rest of the story needs to be inquired about, investigated, and our legislators need to step up as well to figure out what's going on at the UT system, not just in this one isolated instance or furries at UT Knoxville.
Now, Pastor, you had an opportunity to reach out. What did the university tell you, and did they at least seem to be remorseful here?
They have not reached back. I have not heard back to them. I'm sure I will now. But like I said, I sent the email out, and I'm assuming maybe because of the weekend or maybe because of it's now a holiday, I haven't heard back. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, but hopefully I will hear from our chancellor very soon. He is very personable, and we're thankful to have the man that we have. But once again, hopefully I will hear back and have a meeting with him soon. But regarding what my brother just said here, regarding the investigation, this should be a very short investigation. Just like he said, who allowed it to go out, and under what category was it allowed to be under, and what professor allowed it to go out? This should be, like I said, a very short investigation to get to the bottom of this. But I want to say this. I'm just thankful for our people in our area. Several of my church members sent me a copy of the text and the emails that they were sending the university. And so I'm assuming they did what I requested them to do and message him and contact and reach out, and they have.
You know, Pastor, you mentioned that. I was just really impressed with the ages of the people that are really upset about this, and most of them are either current students at UT Martin or recent graduates. What does that tell you?
Well, let me tell you this. I was so impressed with our students. We have a college ministry here. It's very active. And there was four young women that as they walked out, and I stand at the back and shake hands, people are leaving, and four young women walked up to me, and one of them actually said, Brother Colin, I am on the student government, and what do I need to do today? That's what she said. She said, what do I need to do? She was shook. She was upset about it. And she said that she had not been to the UC since the middle of the week, the university center. And so, but she said, what do I need to do today? And I said, email the chancellor. And I said, email those in the art department. I said, I don't know who sponsored this, who came up. And how I found out about it, Todd, was a staff member actually sent me a picture very upset on Friday. And it was, you know, it upset me as well, this staff. And right here in our college town is, you know, Martin, Tennessee. And so, like I said in my sermon, it's not happening, you know, at Knoxville. And I'd heard about that sex week a few years ago that they were doing it at UT Knox. And, you know, I even spoke about that a while back. But all this, the fact that just like what you said, the young adults, it's not just the senior adults that were upset about it. And a lot of times, you know, we complain about it from our own pews, but we don't do anything about it. Oh no, these young people
right.
got involved yesterday. And man, I was very, very impressed with them. The fact, the stance they took for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
All right, Steve, again, you raised an interesting point here that there's always a double standard. They never target, you know, these woke artists never target Islam. It's always Christians or the Jews, mostly the Christians that they're going after.
Well, and let me say also, Pastor, thank you for speaking up. As Todd mentioned at the very outset
yes.
of our discussion, thank you for speaking up, not just speaking up publicly, but from the pulpit. There are too many of our pastors who are too silent about the issues of the day. And as I tell people all the time, if your pastor isn't talking about this particular issue, you're in the wrong church and you need to get your butt out of that pew and go somewhere else where the
right
pastor is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So again, thank you for speaking up and also from
well,
the pulpit. But Todd, you're exactly right. If they wouldn't even consider doing the blasphemy of Muhammad and Islam, just rumors that somebody burned a Quran or rumors that somebody has published a comic book defaming Muhammad will lead to riots and murders and burning.
Well,
if these brave artists at UT Martin want to do this kind of stuff, then proudly do one of Muhammad. And by the way, let's give out your address because you ought to be brave enough to want to let the whole world know exactly where you live.
Exactly right. If you'll remember, and Todd, you probably remember this, I think it was back in 2023, just 2 years ago, there was a professor at, I think, Hamline University that someone had just done a portrait of Muhammad. And she was actually fired from her college position. I think that is actually still an ongoing lawsuit. But it wasn't degrading Muhammad. It was just, someone had done a painting of him, of maybe like without even a face or something. I can't remember how it all went. But she lost her job over just putting up a portrait of Muhammad. And so once again, you know, I agree with what my brother said here. You know, if it was anyone else, man, you're out the door and you're going to have lawsuits. And you know, I said that yesterday, but it's okay when it's Jesus. No, it's not okay.
All right. We've got Steve.
There was a Broadway show several years ago, Broadway show defaming and demeaning Jesus Christ. But again, you would never do that, demeaning any other religion other than Christianity. And again, enough is enough. We need to push back.
Absolutely.
People forget that Jesus overturned tables and whipped people who were blaspheming his father. We don't need to always be tolerant.
All right. We have Steve Gill, a political contributor, and Kylan Mann, the lead pastor at Central Baptist Church in Martin, Tennessee. You know, Pastor, I'm curious about the process. I know you were preparing a sermon, and you decided to use your platform there to talk about this to the congregation. And I think one of the concerns I have around the country is that far too many pastors are afraid to do that. So why did you decide to take some time Sunday to talk about this from the pulpit?
Well, it needed to be done, Todd. Ultimately, that's how I feel. I'm ultimately, Todd, let me just say this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 tells us, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We are in a spiritual battle. And just like Steve said, man, it is time for us to stand for truth. And Jesus himself, even stood up against the money changers in the temple, you know, because they were taking advantage of the people. And it is time to stand up. And I'm actually right now in the middle of a series. Our year-long theme is serve, not self. And right now I'm in a series entitled Sacrifice to Serve. And the fact is, my whole sermon this week was talking about it's going to cost us to stand for Christ. And, you know, I mean, that when you look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 26, that was my main passage. You know, we got to carry our cross daily. Well, this is happening today. And so this is a part of carrying our cross daily, that we need to take a stand for Jesus. And we need to, even if it cost us our jobs, even if it cost us our friendships, man, we need to stand up for what's right. You know, there's a difference when Peter, you know, he denied the Lord three times. Well, after he received the Holy Spirit, of course, he was remorseful. And
right.
We know that afterwards. He was on the beach. The Lord, you know, reconciled him there. But afterwards, he stood up and he preached on Pentecost when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but man, he was willing to lay down his life for his Lord. And he stood and he preached and he proclaimed what was right. And you know, we need to stand against the wiles of the devil.
All right, guys, we're going to have to leave it there. We're super late for a break, but we appreciate both of you for coming on today. Pastor, thanks for speaking out. Steve, always good to have you on the show. Thanks a lot, guys.
Steve, thank you so much.
All right, there you have it, folks, and we do need to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, one of my favorite stories, and this is a good one. It's coming from Yancey County, North Carolina. This is over in Western North Carolina. And, you know, we've been talking about a lot about what schools are not doing right. Well, the school system there in Yancey County in North Carolina is actually doing something right. And they have a terrific carpentry class, and they're teaching these young guys how to become construction workers, and they're also helping people who lost their homes during Hurricane Helene. Take a listen, please.
The first walk into the construction training facility at Mountain Heritage High School, it looks and sounds like any other carpentry class. That's until you realize what the students there are actually working on.
It makes me feel very proud knowing that I am able to help and change someone's life that is in need through not only school, but building and just helping out those that can't really help themselves.
Croy Silver and Hensley England are both students in Jeremy Dotz's Honors Carpentry class.
I just wanted to go out and help others, and this is a great opportunity to do that.
One of their projects this semester is turning this wooden frame into a tiny home for a storm victim who lost theirs. It's all part of a new partnership between the high school and local organization Rebuilding Hollers. Stephanie Johnson started the nonprofit.
We have so many community members that lost their homes, and all of these boys were affected by the storm. We all were. We all lived through everything that happened.
Rebuilding Hollers uses donated funds to purchase home building materials. Through this new partnership, those supplies then make their way here to Mountain Heritage High School, where a group of 18 seniors go to work on building an A-frame 650-square-foot home shell.
So it was a perfect marriage of the two to come together and collaborate with the students and the community to give back right here in Yancey County.
I love this story. And the best part of it all is that I don't know if you caught this, it's an honors class. In other words, there are different levels, kind of like you would have a regular English class, then you would have your honors English class. Well, that's what they're doing in Yancey County, teaching these young men a craft. And it was really a terrific television package that was done here. And what I loved about it is the attention to detail that the instructor was doing with the kids, teaching them, you know, the finest points of being a construction worker and building something from wood. Well done, Yancey County there in Western North Carolina. And we need more schools to consider doing things like this. As important as it is for young boys to learn things like woodworking from their dads, but to be able to get advanced training at the high school, or for young girls to learn things like cooking and preparing meals and tending homes, we need to get back to that kind of education in America and see what happens. So look, this is going on today, and we're going to do a deep dive into this. later on in the Newsmax show. Elon Musk has now determined that there are more than 20 million people over the age of 100 in America. More than 3.9 million are between the ages of 130 years old and 139 years old, and more than 3.5 million, are you ready for this, Ben Dieter? This is shocking. More than 3.5 million Americans are between the ages of 140 and 149 years old. More than 1.3 million in the age range of 150 to 159 years old. I had no idea people were living that long in America. But you know what it is, ladies and gentlemen? These are the people, the ages of the people, that are now getting Social Security checks in America. Do you really believe, you can't make this up, do you really believe that such a large percentage of the population is over 140 years old? I want to meet these people. Where are they? As a matter of fact, there was one person. Hold on, I've got to find this. This is fascinating. One person is between, is they say that one person is listed as being 360 years old. That's like getting up there in Methuselah numbers. But they're all getting Social Security checks. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand the level of fraud and grift that we're talking about here? I mean, this is unbelievable. More than 20 million people over the age of 100. We got to get to the bottom of this, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what's driving the liberals nuts, because they know the jig is up and that the cash cow is it's over with. Yeah, as a matter of fact, according to the Social Security numbers, there's one person between the ages of 360 and 369. There's one person between the ages of 240 and 249. And get this, there are right now more than 1,000 Americans are between the ages of 220 years old and 229. I could have been standing, that could have been why the line at the Piccadilly was so slow on Sunday. That could make sense. All right, we got to scoot out of here, folks. Great day. Happy President's Day. We'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Be good, America.